Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Straight to the River Islands guest line, because sometimes a guest comes on to provide specific information. Sometimes we're excited about a guest because of the timing of all of it. And then sometimes it's just a flat-out honor. Sometimes it's just a flat-out honor. And that's what this is. Again, River Islands guest line, the great Al Michaels. Thursday Night Football on the call tomorrow, Rams and 49ers, and he joins us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Al, thanks for doing it. How are you?
I'm great. I'm looking forward to the fact that Jerry Rice and John Taylor will unretire and start for the 49ers tomorrow night. So it should be pretty exciting.
Yeah, have you learned
it's
the names?
Crazy, isn't it? I mean,
seriously, like, who's playing tomorrow, Al?
Well, I guess you've got DeMarcus Robinson. You've got Marquez Valdes-Scantling. You got Kendrick Bourne. You got Sky Moore. Maybe Steve Young comes over from Palo Alto, even though I think Mac Jones will be able to handle himself pretty well tomorrow. He's 2-0, and he's looking good. And, you know, it figures to be, I don't want to say a rout, but obviously the Rams were in very good shape physically. They played extremely well. 49ers, a completely different story. I mean, it's like it must seem like Groundhog Day or somebody kicked the dog or something with the 49ers, because here we go again. You know, you would think that the law of averages would come into play after what happened last year. The law of averages say, well, you know, we're going to have a better year in terms of not having that many injuries. But here we are again. And of course, the Baltimore Ravens are saying we could give a damn. I mean, tough luck for you guys, because we've got the same problem with us.
Have you seen this, or can you remember another time or a franchise where a squad has been this snake bit by the injury bug?
Well, I'm sure it's happened, because it's more recent, so that's why it seems like it's never happened before. But, in terms of losing key guys over a two-year period, yeah, it's hard to think about something of this nature. I mean, last year, obviously, the team got done in 6-11 because of all of the injuries. But here we go again. But the team right now, they're 3-1. You're going to start to get some of these guys back for sure. Clearly, you know, in 10 days, you know, maybe Brock is back. Kittle should be back sooner than later. Pearsall and Jennings maybe are just out for this game only. So, you know, things are going to get better, you hope. And we'll see if they can hold the fort tomorrow night.
You know, the fans hope so. And Al, it's one of the things I wanted to ask you about is this 49er fan base, because as you well know, tomorrow night they're going to make up more than half the building, even though their favorite players may not be playing. I wonder if you can sort of take us through what you've seen through the years in terms of the evolution of this fan base and sort of the way they travel and seem to just have such a presence in every building, no matter where they are in the country.
Yeah, they're like Green Bay and Pittsburgh in a way, and Kansas City, of course, travels very well. But the 49ers have gotten almost to that point. I'll tell you what's interesting to me is, you know, since I've lived in L.A. for a ton of years, and before that I lived in the Bay Area and Menlo Park, so I know both areas extremely well. I think what happened was when L.A. lost both of its teams, the Raiders and the Rams in 94, and it was two decades before they got the Rams back and the Chargers came back. I think what happened, you had this whole generation that skipped the NFL in town. So they decided, okay, we got to root for somebody. Some of them became Packer fans, Pittsburgh fans. But I think because of geography, some of them just naturally became 49er fans. Or maybe they became Raider fans. But the Raiders, you know, came and they left and they obviously went to Las Vegas. So I think what you have is a whole, I'm talking about now Rams fans who, you know, would have been Rams fans but skipped a generation. So in other words, you have the 49ers fans who travel from the Bay Area or wherever coming down, and then they're supplemented by what would have been Rams fans had that team remained here all of these years. So it's kind of a crazy thing. And, you know, the PA announcer here likes to scream, "Our house, whose house, our house." It's really not their house. In fact, when the Raiders came in, we did a Thursday night game a couple of years ago, and the guy is, you know, screaming his guts out, "Whose house?" And I'm going, "Whose house? It's the Raiders' house. Yep. The Rams are just renting it."
Yeah, it's incredible. And Matt Stafford, actually his wife, had a famous quote about how he had to go to a silent count at home when the Niners came to town, and it was crazy. Al, you just saw Seattle and Arizona play a great one on Thursday night, and now you're going to see the Rams and the 49ers again. What do you think of the division top to bottom, and is it the best in football?
I think it is right now. And I think that, you know, the Rams the Rams could obviously be undefeated, you know, squandered a 19-point lead, the block kick and all of that in Philadelphia. They had that game won and lost it. Seattle looks really good to me. I mean, Sam Darnold is going to make a big difference up there. And the 49ers are clearly, you know, a talented team, but you just got to get the right people on the field. And the Cardinals are good. The Cardinals are certainly better. So I think as of the moment, this would be the toughest division. But I think, you know, the Rams are probably a little bit better than anybody else right now in terms of their personnel. Their defense is so good. We were talking to, you know, Kyle Shanahan on our Zoom call earlier today. And it's what the Rams front four has become is what the 49ers front four was like 5 or 6 years ago with Bosa up front. And the 49ers, you know, with John Lynch drafted, their priority was to, you know, get those front four guys. So you could rush four. You wouldn't have to blitz that often, you know, cover and the secondary. And, you know, it worked out great for San Francisco. Obviously, they went to the two Super Bowls. And the Rams, you know, they lose Aaron Donald, so you figure, uh-oh. But then they go out and they draft a couple of guys back-to-back who wind up 1 and 2 as defensive rookies of the year. They got Byron Young. They got Kobe Turner. They're good. I mean, they're really good, especially on the other side of the ball.
Al Michaels, of course, as if I need to say that, is with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Al, you're so tapped into everything going on. I know you're aware of the lightning rod for whatever reason that Brock Purdy is. Meantime, Mac Jones, he's got an opportunity, at least, as tough as it is, to go 3-0 tomorrow. Brock is the guy. The Niners made that very, very clear. But how will you sort of handle the discussion around the 49er quarterback position based on what happens tomorrow night?
Well, I think Brock is the guy. There's no question about that. I think Mac Jones understands when he came to San Francisco that he was going to back Purdy up, and I think he's comfortable in that role. Sure, everybody would like to start, but I don't see you know, it's kind of funny. Unless somebody is like what they call or refer to as elite, whatever that means, then all of a sudden he's a bum. Not at all. I think, you know, Brock Purdy is a pretty darn good quarterback. And I'll tell you something very funny. Last week we had Sam Darnold, you know, in that game with Seattle at Arizona, and we're talking to Sam, and I said to him, who would you say are the most influential people, coaches or others, in your career? The first guy he mentioned, you know, you're thinking he's going to mention some, you know, 60-year-old coach, right, or maybe a high school or whatever it was going to be. The first guy he mentioned, Brock Purdy. Mm. We said, what? He said, I learned from Brock Purdy how you prepare. So the 1 year that Sam spent as the understudy to Purdy in San Francisco, he credits Purdy with making him so much better. And, of course, you know, Sam's on that trajectory right now, like very much like a Baker Mayfield, maybe like a Daniel Jones, where, you know, it takes a while to get to where you want to go. But he gave so much of the credit to Brock Purdy, which I found to be fascinating.
Yeah, and Mac Jones is trying to emulate that and be on that same trajectory. And last year, Al, only 14 quarterbacks started every game for their team. So how big of a move was it for Shanahan and Lynch to go out and tap Mac Jones, knowing that they're going to need a backup for at least some games?
Oh, for sure. No. And you know, the funny thing is, maybe they could have gotten somebody else with a little bit more money, but I think they were a little strapped in terms of what they could afford in terms of the salary cap. But when we were talking to Mac earlier today, he gave a lot of credit to what Kyle has made him become at this particular point. He thinks he says it's the best fit that I've ever had with a coach. So, you know, and he had Doug Peterson, I guess, when he first went to Jacksonville. Obviously, he had Belichick and a lot of other coaches along the way. But he just feels that this is a really good fit. And I'm sure when, you know, Kyle was out there looking for a backup quarterback, he saw the same thing.
Al, it's so interesting. Content in America now. We know the NFL is king. You've done Monday night. You've done Sunday night. Now here you are on Thursday night. How soon till we can just do this every night of the week?
Well, you know what? I've actually done a game every night of the week. So, yeah, we did a Christmas game. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I've hit all seven. And I got a Tuesday game in, believe it or not, about, I think, 12 or 13 years ago on Sunday night. We had Minnesota at Philadelphia, and a gigantic snowstorm came into Philadelphia. So at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it was clear skies, but by 5 o'clock, they had already canceled the game knowing that a big nor'easter, what they call the nor'easter, is going to come in, and sure enough, it did. So 48 hours later, I came on the air, and I said, welcome to Tuesday Night Football. So I've covered all the bases, guys.
So what happens first, Al? A team is based in Europe, or we stretch this thing out to a Wednesday, Tuesday, and, you know, Friday Night Football?
Oh, they'll play at 3 o'clock in the morning if, you know, there's a slot open. Trust me. I mean, guys, you look at Sundays these days, you've got four windows, right? Europe, and then the early, you know, the 1 o'clock, the 4:15, and then the 8 o'clock on 8 o'clock Eastern on Sunday Night Football. So, you know, it's like you're good to go about 13 hours a day on a Sunday these days. It's crazy.
How do you handle it?
Well, you know, people love it. They love it.
Yep.
How do you handle your Sunday, Al? Are you a red zone guy, or do you just pick a game and watch that?
Well, I'll try to watch. It's very beneficial to me if one team I have on Thursday night is playing early and the other is late. So that works out great. I'm able to watch both. But last week, so I locked into the 49ers the week before and then watched the Rams-Philadelphia game as well. So last week, I mainly concentrated on the 49ers because I live in L.A., so I'm really, you know, well-versed on the Rams. And, you know, obviously I went back and spot-checked the Rams tape and all of that. And that's pretty much how I prepare for these games. And, you know, it's fun. It's fun for me. And then Sundays are great. And, you know, all of a sudden I'm like, you know, I'm a little, like, whacked out by 4:30 in the afternoon. But, you know, jump into the pool, take a quick swim, and go to bed.
Sounds like a good day to me.
Yep.
Hey, guys, before I forget, I was thinking of something the other night I got to bring up. So we all know Dwayne Kuiper.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right?
Yep.
Of course. Who do you think called Dwayne Kuiper's only home run?
Well, I'm going to take a guess. Wild guess. Not Kirk Herbstreit. Was it you?
Kirk was 2 years old. Yeah. So it's my first year on Monday Night Baseball. I'm doing the backup game, the B game. We go to Cleveland. There must have been like 3,800 people, maybe, in the stands. Guys, I called it. And you know who he hit it off of? He hit it off of a guy who wound up winning a Cy Young Award 3 years later.
Oof.
Take a guess? A guy who won the Cy Young Award because he was 25-7 that year with the Baltimore Orioles, even though he had come up with the White Sox when he gave up the home run to Kuiper. I'm talking about Steve Stone.
Stone. Wow. Okay.
Wow.
There's your trivia for the day, guys. And meanwhile, Steve Stone has now done either the White Sox or the Cubs. He's with the White Sox now. On radio for like 40 years. He's had Kuiper's broadcasting career.
And that thing cleared the fence by at least a foot, right, Al?
Oh, it was like 2 feet 9 inches, right. Yes. right down the right field line. Yep.
Oh, you got it.
And both have been Ford C. Frick Award Hall of Fame nominees, including Dwayne Kuiper this year. So, wow, full circle moment. You broadcasting two future great broadcasters.
And deservedly with those guys. They're terrific.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Al Michaels with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Al, circling back to you saying that you were locked in on the Niners last week, I'm going to sound like a fan here. Did you write on your notes, they do nothing well? Because, I mean, that game last week, it felt like they were struggling in every single aspect.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, obviously, you turn the ball over that much, and you're normally not going to win the game. And in a tough time running it, That's going to be interesting tomorrow night, too, to see if they can run the ball at all. I don't know. You know, it's going to be rough because of their offensive line. You got a left guard, you know, a rookie, Colby. I guess he's playing pretty well, but you still have a rookie there. You know, you got obviously he's next to Trent Williams. So that helps. Pooney's, what, in his second year or so? And that, I mean, that defense, that front of the Rams is terrific. So I think it's going to, you know, behoove Jones, obviously, to get the ball out quickly. You know, maybe, and you know, McCaffrey's got to be, I guess McCaffrey's got to be your top receiver tomorrow night. I mean, but who knows? Maybe one of these other guys comes to the fore. I mean, DeMarcus Robinson, he's in his 10th year, but, you know, hey, the Rams let him go. So maybe he wants to come back and prove a little something to them. Who knows?
Yeah, five of the Niners' offensive starters from week one will not be in the game. So, yeah, it's a little bit patchwork. Hey, Al, can you give our fans a little primer on the Rams and their offense? We all know Puka Nacua is going crazy, but what else have the Rams done well?
Well, they run the ball extremely well because Kyren Williams handles about two-thirds of the rushes. Blake Corum, they've got him. He seems to be coming into his own. You picked up Davante Adams, who's clearly your number two receiver right now. And meanwhile, I can't say enough about Puka Nacua. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. I think he has, what, 42 catches this season. I love watching him play because he plays with such joy. I mean, he's tough. He's a hard-nosed football player. They drafted a guy named Puka, I think, you drafted like a 5'8", 148-pound scat back or something. No, he's a big stud, and he is like, he is one of my favorite players for no other reason than, like me, he's never had a single vegetable in his life. And Andrew Whitworth, who, you know, is for this on Prime. Andrew put together a dinner with me and Andrew and Puka during the offseason. And boy, I tell you what, we ate half the stockyard that night. It was phenomenal.
I did not know. Now, we knew that about you because it came up a lot last year. I did not know that about Puka. And did the two of you, like, do you have similar reasons why? Like, why no vegetables, Al?
We hate them.
Well, but how do you know that?
Well, just by look, they don't pass the eye test,
okay,
to begin with, right? And if they're cooked, they certainly don't pass the smell test.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, they don't look very good. And you know, once in a while, like a piece of lettuce will sneak into my mouth, but it's got to come out because I can tell what it is, and it probably has more to do with the texture than anything else. But here I am, and here Puka is, you know, rewriting the record book, and baby, it's a meet or bust.
I love it. I think people would love to see some positive examples out there of not eating vegetables so that they can try it too. It's interesting, though, about Puka, you know, because coming out of college, he didn't pass the eye test either. So I would think,
right?
I would think that he would want to, you know, give it a shot, try something that might surprise you.
No. He got to where he is doing what he's doing, so he's got to keep this up.
So the average Al Michaels meal is just meat, meat, and more meat. Do you throw in some starch or some pasta?
Yeah, I can throw in some mashed potatoes or a baked potato. That doesn't count as a vegetable. And you know, start out with maybe a little sushi as an appetizer or a shrimp cocktail. You know, I do eat fish, chicken, and all of that. So it's not as if it's just meat, meat, meat. But, you know, once in a while, you know, a good piece of halibut is fantastic. And I love pasta as well. So it's not as if it's just meat, meat, meat. But, boy, oh, boy, you know, 5 nights a week, it is a big steak.
Ah, perfect, perfect.
Fantastic.
Al, before you go, I'm sure you get asked this constantly, but I'd love to. How much longer do you want to do this?
You know, I feel really good. I enjoy what I'm doing. This is my 40th year of doing the NFL in prime time between Monday and Sunday and now Thursday. I still get excited. You know, I go into the stadium. I like to watch it fill up. I just like it's adrenalizing to me. And I love, you know, the strategy of the game. I love the craft that I've been lucky enough to be a part of for a long period of time. So, and live television just makes you feel as if, you know, hey man, I'm there, I'm present, I'm in the moment, got a lot of things going on around me. The brain is working, you know, full speed. I love that. I love the feeling. I still do. And as long as I feel that way, and as long as I have the passion to do this, I'll continue.
Miracle on Ice, Dwayne Kuiper only home run, Loma Prieta World Series earthquake game, which is coming up on 36 years ago, Al.
Sure is. October 17th, Oh, man. Unbelievable.
And the Mac Jones shocker. Get ready for that tomorrow night.
That's right.
Who knows?
Yep.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Do you believe in Macicles, maybe, is the call.
There you go.
It's a freebie for you, Al.
Al, what a ton of fun. Thanks so much.
Take care, guys. Good to be with you.
All right. You too. Al Michaels.
Goosebumps.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know why it's not outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.